you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter. I want to read the 14th verse. Joshua 14:14. Now, Joshua is right over toward the front of your Bible. It's right after Deuteronomy. So just Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. There you go. And the 14th chapter, the 14th verse. Now I'll ask you to stand for the reading of the scripture. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. I want you to pay close attention to the last part. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let me get that last little part of that verse again. Because that he, what? Wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. We're talking about revival this week. Guess where revival comes in at? When God's people decide to wholly follow him again. I'm going to give you one of the weirdest sermon titles tonight that you've probably ever heard a preacher preach on. You just pray for me. My sermon title tonight is A Crowing Rooster, An Oinking Pig, and A Squalling Baby. Okay, how many of you think he's done lost it? All right. Just pray for me. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that were ours to behold in this place this morning. Thank you, God, that you showed up. And thank you, Lord, that when you showed up, you showed out. Thank you, God, for that. But, Lord, that was this morning. And Lord, this is tonight. And now we stand in need of another touch from you, Lord. Father, I simply pray tonight, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Father, I pray for that anointing to preach as only you can give, Lord. Father, just fill me with your word. Fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough, Lord. And Father, give us receptive hearts that we might hear, we might do. Lord, that revival would come in this your church, Shoal Creek Baptist Church on Young's Mill Road, LaGrange, Georgia. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Save the lost, I ask you, Lord. Draw the cold at heart back to you. Encourage us, Lord, in our journey. In Christ's name, amen. And you may be seated. In the sermon I'm going to preach tonight, or that I'm planning to preach, I want to take one attribute of the character of Caleb and use it as a springboard to examine other characters in the Bible. Now, the Bible records that Caleb wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, that is the characteristic that I want to examine today, wholly following the Lord. Now, Caleb heard the call of God to come and inherit the promised land. You know what Caleb's response was? It was both quick and decisive. He said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Caleb was called by the Lord to possess a promised land. Today, you and I are commanded to wholly follow God and possess the land that he has promised us. Today, I want you to know, Shoal Creek Baptist Church has been called to possess its promised land. How many of you know that Faith Baptist Church can't do what God called Shoal Creek to do? How many of you know First Baptist on the Square cannot do what God's called you to do? Who can do what God has called you to do? Only you. Only you. I pose a question to you tonight. Are you possessing your promised land? Are you there? That's not a discussion answer. That's a yes or a no answer. You either are there or you aren't. Just like being born. Either you've been born or you haven't. And I would assume that everybody in this place tonight has been born. Amen. Amen went right there. Yeah. Tonight I want to examine the lives of four biblical characters. And as I do, I want to ask the question of all of us, what will it take for us to wholly follow God and possess our promised land? What has God got to bring to bear to get us where we need to be? How many of you know that God has a way of getting your attention? Amen. How many of you know that the Bible says that if you're sons and daughters of God, that if you don't do right, and I'm going to put this in Arab English, He will take you to the woodshed. God will chasten those whom He loves. That's not a popular gospel tonight, but that's just the way it is. What will it take? What's God got to do to get us where He wants us? I want to look at four characters tonight. The first one is Peter, my hero, hoof and mouth disease Peter. The only time that boy took his foot out of his mouth was just to swap feet. I love Peter. He could have been named Aaron. Peter was beneath in the palace. There cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand thou why thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." He began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. What's God got to do to get your attention or my attention to get us where He wants us? I want you to know that Peter was a privileged person. He had walked on the water with Jesus. He had witnessed Jairus' daughter being healed. He had been on the Mount of Transfiguration when the glory of God was revealed. But now he's in a spiritual valley. They had taken Jesus and he was fearing for his life. Now ain't it funny how the spiritual valleys we walk through will reveal whether or not we are holy walking with God. Now we'll make sure you're catching this. Because I said Peter was a man of privilege. Listen to me. He walked on the water. How many of us have walked on water? Don't think so. He had been on a Mount of Transfiguration. He had seen the dead raised. And if you would pick any one man out and say, "Surely this man is following God 100%, we would have probably selected Peter. Brother, if we'd put him on the deacon election, he'd have got elected chairman. If we'd put him up for a candidate for a church, we'd have called him to be the pastor. Surely this man was walking with God." But I'm going to tell you something. The spiritual valley came, and the spiritual valleys will reveal whether or not you're wholly following God. Now I want you to see the picture of a man who was not wholly following God. When a man is not wholly following God, he, number one, warms himself by the wrong fire. Number associates with the wrong crowd. And number three, his mouth speaks the wrong testimony. This is God's boy that was doing all of this. You remember the story? God told him, said, Peter got brash and said, though the whole world leave you, Lord, not me. The Lord said, son, you're going to deny me twice before the cock crows. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows twice in the morning. Peter didn't think so. But now go with me in your mind, die. And here, you're getting this picture? Here's old Peter out there saying, oh, I don't know him. He said, yeah, you do. You talk like him. So he fixed that and he went to cussing. Amen. Had to be a good Baptist, didn't he? Amen. Now listen, all this is going on, and off in the distance, do you hear it? An old rooster jumps up on a stump somewhere, bows his neck, and lets her fly, and says, cock-a-doodle-doo! But old Peter, let me tell you something, that first rooster crow was the sound of grace, people. That was God's warning. God done told him, said, before that rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter said, not me. Not me. But God was going to expose something. Now listen. The sound of that first crow is the sound of grace. And oh, how much shame and hurt Peter could have spared himself if he would have just repented when he heard the rooster crow the first time. But he didn't do it. Peter was so deep in sin, he ignored the rooster's call. And some of us get real pious and self-lifted up and say, well, if that had been me, preacher, I'd have just got right when I heard that preacher, that rooster crow, the first time. How many of you sitting in the pews tonight heard the preacher preach 1,000 times, still ain't moved? Don't judge my man Peter. Amen. Stay away from my man Peter. All right. But I want you to see something now. Peter was deep in sin and he ignored the rooster's first call. Now Peter has denied the Lord two more times. Then the Holy Spirit nudges that little rooster, brother. And he said, son, see, the Holy Spirit talks to roosters. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Holy Spirit says, son, jump back up there on that stump or that hollow log or whatever you got. Bow your neck up, boy, and let her fly again. Because I'm just about to teach an old hard-headed fisherman a lesson he won't ever forget. And can't you see that? The old rooster jumps up on that stump or that hollow log and all of a sudden he bows that neck. Y'all have seen how them roosters do and that comb will come up and he says, for the second time. The Bible says that immediately Holy Ghost conviction fell on the man of God and he realized that he was not wholly following God. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I want to look at that rooster for a little while. Y'all ain't going to know what to talk about on your jobs tomorrow, are you? You're not going to know whether to talk about the chicken or the tomato. Amen. Listen, there are four lessons we can learn from that old rooster about wholly following the Lord. Number one, he was satisfied being a rooster. Now, y'all listen real close to me tonight, because I'm here to tell you today that you've never seen an old rooster going down to the hen house dressed in a skirt with a blouse on and a wig and some pink pumps and just saying, I'm just going down to the hen house to be one of the girls. Oh, no. That rooster was satisfied being a rooster. Oh, come on now. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Yeah. Now, where you going at, preacher? I'm here to tell you today that you and I aren't wholly following God and we're not happy with who we are until we've learned how to be happy in Jesus. And when we learn how to be happy in Amen. I tell folks, I'm one of my best friends. I like me. Amen. Somebody ever tells you that I committed suicide, you come find out what my wife did to me. Amen. I like me too good. I want you to know something, though. It's time and high time that we stop trying to be like the world and just be happy with who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what's the problem with the church today? We got too much church in the world, or too much world in the church and not enough church in the world. Well, amen. It's time and high time that we stop trying to be like every other person in the church and just be happy being who we are. You know what? When God called me to preach, whoever I heard that week before I got in the pulpit on Sunday, that's who I thought I had to be. If I heard Billy Graham, brother, bless God, I had to be Billy Graham that Sunday. If I heard Oral Roberts and Honey set up the healing line, I was going to be Oral Roberts. Amen. If I heard Jimmy Swag, well, we ain't going there. Amen. But whoever I thought I heard that was, that's who I had to be. And you know what? It was one of the most liberating things in the world when God got a hold of me one day. And he said, Aaron said, I didn't call you to be Oral Roberts or Billy Graham or somebody else. He said, I called you to be you. And I said, well, God, if I'm being me, I can't do what they do. He said, yes, son, but they can't do what I want you to do either. You know what? That was liberating to me when I realized God wanted me to be me. You wonder why you're getting this tonight. God played a trick on you. You thought you were going to hear a real preacher this week. You got me. Amen. I'm not an Anthony Hovey. I can't divide the word. I have to find crazy stuff to preach on. Amen. But you know what? A lot of folks go out scratching their head and they say, you know what? That old boy preaches some crazy sermons, but I understood it. It's time and high time that we stop trying to be like every other denomination and just become happy being who we are. You know what? Offends me when folks listen to me preach, especially when I get cranked up and let it roll. And I've been being nice to y'all today. And somebody said, oh, you're Pentecostal, aren't you? You got a Pentecostal streak in you. I want to say, no, I do not. Absolutely. I have a Pentecostal preaching style, but I don't have any Pentecostal flares in me. I don't have to blame being spiritual on another denomination. Hello! And I'm going to give you some Bible history here. Your preacher will bear me out on this. Folks think the Pentecostals have got something new when they're shouting and carrying on business. Honey, I'm here to tell you something. We had it before they did. You say, now, how do you get that? The day of Pentecost is worse. Oh, no. No, no. No, honey. We go back before Pentecost. Let me give you some church history right here. Every church that is of the Protestant denomination, which, by the way, Baptists are not Protestant. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're Protestant. Say, well, why, preacher? Because Protestant churches mean, if you're a Protestant church, it happened when Luther tacked his thesis on the Catholic door and said, we're rebelling. So to be a Protestant means you had to be protesting what the Catholic church did, and you come out of it. Let me tell you something, honey. You ain't got no pope in your background. Because our lineage don't go back that way. Our lineage goes back to one of a voice crying in the wilderness who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mama's womb, John the Baptist. Boom! Somebody said, well, John the Baptist didn't get excited. Oh, honey, get real. You go with me for a moment. The Bible said he was baptizing one day down in the River Jordan. And he was dunking them, honey. You say, how do you know he was dunking and wasn't sprinkling? Because the Bible said he came up straightway out of the water. You don't come straightway up out of a Dixie cup. Amen. Amen goes right there. I'm going to tell you something. One day he was down there. He was baptizing in the River Jordan. And all of a sudden, preacher, he looked up and he told them all around, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And I'm going to tell you right now, he got happy. You say, "How'd he get happy, Brother Aaron?" Because Jesus came on the scene. And when Jesus comes on the scene, things happen. Hey, the lukewarm will fire up. Amen. The gossipers will shut up. The God robbers will pay up. The lukewarm will fire up. When Jesus comes on the scene, things happen. Woo! Y'all say, "I see why you gotta get so excited." Because I got something to get excited about, honey. Woo! I'm like hard blood better than that Mississippi squirrel. One day, the Holy Ghost run up my britches leg, and I said, "Woo! Something's got a hold of me. And he ain't let go yet." He said, "Well, I wish you'd act more dignified. I just don't understand that." If you ain't tried it, don't knock it. Y'all just kill me. Just Baptist folks in general just kill me. Holy Spirit will come sweeping in, preacher. And all of us who just don't care, we just go, "Ah!" But them little dignified Baptists, I go, "Look at that picture, I got three Holy Ghost bumps. Let me count them." We go, if we shout it all, we do it dignified. We go, "Lord, I wish y'all could hear this floor get cranked up." Amen. And her sister Aunt Margie goes with her. They sang a duet. Amen. Night I got saved, Sister Aura Carr, I've told this before, came out that second pew waving that white handkerchief. And this poor sophisticated Baptist boy was sitting on the back row. Holy Ghost hit her and she went, "Wow!" I ain't never seen nothing like that before. I said, Oh, Lord. I'll tell you what, though. I kind of like it. Y'all just go ahead and try it. Amen. If you ain't so dignified right now, you just go ahead and say, It'll make you feel a whole lot better. Amen. You won't go out of here with a headache, will you, brother? Amen. Glory. Just let it go. Now, I have no idea how I've got from a rooster crowing. So, but it's all right. Now, let me tell you something. You got to be happy with who you are. You see, I'm happy with who I am. They come talk to me about taking this associational missionary job. I told them all they was crazy. I'm going to retire at Roper Heights Baptist Church. I had it all figured out, brother. But then God got in the situation. God had the audacity to change my plans without even consulting me. Can y'all believe that? I told them, "If I'm coming, I'm coming like I am. If I come to your church, I come like I am." Hey, you know what? I got to preach up First Baptist. This is being taped, so I got to watch careful. Hey, but I got to preach up First Baptist Church in LaGrange, Georgia on a Wednesday night. You know what? Before I got out of the pulpit, I shouted, "Amen. Hallelujah. Have glory to God." Some of them still ain't figured out what happened, but it's good. Amen. I love them. We got to be happy with who you are. The old rooster. He was just happy being a rooster. Second thing I want you to see about that rooster. He wasn't ashamed of his calling. When the old rooster jumped up on that hollow log or fence post, you know what he didn't do? He didn't jump up there and cock that neck and let that comb up and go, No, he didn't do that. He didn't jump up there and let that comb come up and go, No, he didn't do that. He didn't jump up there, brother, and go, "Moo." You know why? Because he's a rooster. Roosters don't go moo and meow and bow wow. They go cock-a-doodle-doo. Amen. This is deep theology you're getting here tonight. Amen. But I want you to know something. He was proud of his calling. Oh, y'all knew this was too fun for too long, didn't you? You know what? The reason some folks aren't wholly following God, the reason some folks look like they've been dipped in veal pickle juice when they're sitting in the pews, oh, you ought to see how you look. You think nobody sees it. But the preacher's looking dead at you. And you forget that, and the preacher will get carried away. I had a lady down at Roper Heights. I loved her to death. She loved me to death. Like to have killed me when she died. You know what, brother? She loved me. As much as she loved me, though, she didn't like my preaching style when I'd get happy. Said about halfway back on the left-hand side, Miss Juanita Locke was her name. She knows this. She's dead and gone to the Lord. But her husband, everybody knows it. I'd be preaching away, brother, and the Holy Spirit would come, and I'd just say, "Whoa!" You know what? You know what Miss Juanita did? She'd go, "Huh." One day I saw her do that. And I got, you know, that preacher's got a little devil in him. I just thought I did it again. I said, "Miss Juanita, this is for you." Woo! You know what? Some folks are so busy worrying about being somebody else that they can't be happy being who they are. God has called some of you to be roosters. And you go and meow as big as life. And when, if I just be a good little kitty cat, God will bless me. God didn't call you to be a kitty cat. Called you to be a rooster. Some of you, God's called you to be a kitty cat. You say, "Well, I'll just be a dog." God, no. These folks just kill me preaching. Well, it don't matter where you go to church at, preacher, and it don't really matter what you do. Just as long as you're serious. Wrong. It does matter where you go, and it matters what you do. You got to be obeying God.
Right.
You see, them people that flew them planes in the towers, they were serious. They were seriously wrong. Well, amen. You know what? Some of y'all looked at me and said, "I can't believe you get up there in that pulpit and crow like a rooster." You know why I don't mind crowing like a rooster in the pulpit? Because I got something to crow about, baby. His name is Jesus. Well, Lord, if we would wholly follow Jesus, we'd come to the point where we weren't ashamed of our calling. Some of you, God may be calling you to preach, and you say, "Well, I'll just be a deacon." Well, that's well and good, but if God's called you to preach, He ain't happy with you.
Amen.
Some say, "Well, God's called me to sing in the choir, but I'll just teach a teenage class." That's well and good. God called you to sing. You better be jumping up on the hollow log, honey. Let her rip. Amen. Third thing I want you to see. And I tell you what, y'all aren't listening quick enough tonight. Listen a little faster and I'll get through a little faster. The third thing, that rooster never had to be encouraged to do his job. Now listen, I tell you something you've never seen in the barnyard. You've never seen old McDonald, old Farmer McDonald, going down to the hen house on a Saturday night with an alarm clock, and somebody said, "What you doing, preacher?" Or, "Old McDonald, I'm going down to set the alarm clock so the rooster will get up in the morning and do his job." You never heard old McDonald have to give the old rooster a pep talk and encourage him not to quit just because some hen said something about the way he was crowing. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? Let me go back over them 2 points again. You've never seen old McDonald have to go down to the hen house on a Saturday night to set the alarm clock and encourage the preacher, I mean the rooster, to get up on Sunday morning and do his job. Then why in the world, church, do we expect the preacher to come pet us on Saturday so we'll be at church on Sunday? Whoo! I quit preaching and went to meddling again. Oh yeah, and we have to go dust and adjust halos too. We have to go down to the roosters every once in a while. Say, "It's all right, son. You know that old biddy that said something about your crowing don't really know anything anyway. Just let it go and go on and do what God's called you." "Well, preacher, she hurt my feelings." Well, bless your little heart. You think you're the only dog named Rover in this building. We've all been hurt. But you keep on going. Fourth thing I want you to see. The old rooster had no respect of persons. Regardless of who was in his listening audience. Did y'all hear that? Regardless of who was in his listening audience, he just jumped up every time and said, "Cock-a-doodle-doo." His message didn't change. He didn't care. You know what? There's some preachers that change their message to who's sitting in the pews. Honey, I just don't care. Amen. I look at it this way. Y'all didn't hire me and you can't fire me. Amen. I'm just going to preach what God wants me to preach. Amen. But you know what? It took a rooster crowing to get Peter's attention. What will it take to get our attention? Let me tell you, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but over in Luke 15:15, you'll find it. You'll find the story of where a prodigal son left home. A son of affluence. Had everything. But you know what? He had all the finer things. He wore the finer clothes. He drove the Cadillac of the chariot line. He dated the finest society women of his day. He probably was respected by the town elders and probably was a civic and church leader. Had servants that waited on him. But somewhere along the way, he rebelled against his father. And when you rebel against the will of the Father, are you listening to me tonight? It always will wind up with you being in a pig pen if you rebel and do not repent. Now I'm going to tell you something. Y'all go with me a minute. The Father will let you go just as far down sin's highway as you want to go. But I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus Christ is in your heart, you're His child, and somewhere along the way, there's going to be a pig pen waiting for you. Right. Amen. Let me tell you something. One day, I don't know when it was. I don't know how long the boy had been out there. I don't know what all he went through. I know what the Bible says, but I'm sure it doesn't tell it all. But one day, in a pig pen, in that stinking swill and mess, he woke up. And Anthony probably woke up to an old sow rooting him in the ear. You know what? The Bible says the boy came to himself. He came to himself. You know what he realized? He might have looked at that pig. And said, pig, you may enjoy this pig pen. This slot and this swill may be for you. But it ain't for me. Because, you see, I'm a king's boy. I'm a king's boy. And I don't need to be in your pig pen anymore. Amen. And he got it. And he started making his way home. And I'm going to tell you something he didn't take with him. You read the story and you see this didn't happen. You don't find where he woke up one day and said, I'm going home, pigs. But you've been so good to me. You've been my friends when nobody else would. You gave me a place to sleep in this pig pen with you. I'm going home to Daddy. Come on, Fred. You get under this arm. And Ethel, you get under this arm. Come on, I'm taking you with me. You don't find that. You know what happens when you get out of the pig pen? You leave the pigs there. Amen. You can't run with them anymore. Oh, my. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. You've been on a long journey. And maybe right now you're waking up and you're hearing some oinking in your ear. You may not be the brightest crayon in the box, but you've realized this. I don't belong where I'm at because I'm a king's boy. I'm a king's girl. Preacher, I'm going to come home. I'm tired of this pig pen. I'm tired of chasing after empty dreams. I'm tired of all this fruitless, endless junk in my life. I'm coming home. My. It took a crowing rooster to get Peter wholly committed to God. It took an oinking pig to get a prodigal son wholly committed to God. But go with me just a little further. Over in the book of Genesis, if you'll jot this down, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. Let me read this to you. I'm just going to read 4 verses. Starting with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I want you to know tonight, it took a squalling baby to get Enoch to wholly follow God. 21st verse said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now listen to this 22nd verse. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. The birth of his baby boy, or his oldest boy, at age 65. Was the turning point in his life. You see, it's not all negative that causes people to realize they need God. Sometimes when you just get to looking at the blessings that God has given you, you realize, I need to follow God. Folks, has God been good to you tonight? Amen. You're going to leave here tonight, most of you. Unless you're on a diet like me, you're going to go home and you're going to eat a wonderful meal, probably. It may be a tomato sandwich, but you're going to eat. Amen. And you're going to maybe watch a TV in a good house. And you'll get into a warm bed with a wonderful spouse and a wonderful family around you. And you'll close your eyes and you'll go to sleep. And in the morning, God will gently kiss you and caress you. And wake you. And you'll get up and you'll go to a good job. Surrounded with good people. You got good health. Listen to me. God has been good to you. And doesn't that demand our service to Him? Oh my, my, my. Let me tell you a little bit about Enoch. And I'm trying to wind her down. I done called a tower and got clearance again. We coming in. Come here, Anthony. Amen. I want to show you how this works. Come over here. Here we're going over here. I want you to see Abraham and Enoch right here. Just stand
Abraham
by me.
Who?
God and Enoch. Excuse me. Thank you.
God, I'm Enoch.
I'm God, you're Enoch. Ain't that the way it always goes?
Yeah.
Amen. But you know what happened? God come visiting Enoch. And he said, son, let's just go for a walk. And they'd go out walking a little while. And then God would say, okay, Enoch, you can go home. I'll see you tomorrow. The next day God would come and say, come on, Enoch. Let's just walk and fellowship a little more. And they'd go a little further. And he'd say, all right, son, you can go home now. Next day God...
The next day the Lord looked around and said, son, let's just go to my house. Because it's closer to my house than it is to your house. Folks, I hate to have to end this one that way, but when we were recording, we run out of tape right at the end of the message. So this is Brother Aaron. Just want to tell you how it ended, and that is the end of this message. God bless you. Hope it's been a blessing to you.